Okay, Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi said, Rabbi, of course, is Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the organizer of the Mishnayos. So Rabbi Omer, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi would say, Eizo hi derech yeshara sheyavur lo ha'adam. What is the proper path? The derech yeshara. It's a nice term, yashar. Derech yeshara. What is the just path that a person should choose for himself in this world? You can see at the bottom of the page that the Bartanura translates the word sheyavur as sheyivror. What is borer on Shabbos? What is the malach of borer? Selecting. So what is the proper path? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi wants to know. There are so many paths in this world. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Eizui derech yeshara sheyavur lo adam. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Obviously, he's not going to give us a specific path. He's going to give us a derech by which a person can find the derech. Or better yet, can find their derech. So he says, Kol shehi tif'eres la'oseha, v'tif'eres lo min ha'adam. Whatever is... What, you're excited?
You love this song.
Kol shehi tif'eres la'oseha, I'm excited too. V'tif'eres lo min ha'adam. Okay, there's so much here. Let's see. Let's read the Bar Tanura. First of all, in the Sfira Sa'omer, what is today's Sfira? What are we up to? The 16th day of the Omer. Okay, we're up to Gvura Shebetif Eres. Which means that as we come out of this past Shabbos, where again we began to learn Pirkei Avos, the first parak, this whole week, which is the week that, so to speak, corresponds to the second parak of Avos, right, is the week of Tiferes in Sfiras Omer. It's very interesting. And how does the parak begin? What's the proper path? Tiferes. Tiferes lo osea, tiferes lo min ha'adam. Let's figure out what that means. But it's just interesting that yesterday's Sfiras HaOmer was Chesed Shebet Tiferes. Today is Gevura Shebet Tiferes. Tomorrow will be Tiferes Shebet Tiferes. So the Midah of Tiferes is what we're working on during this week of the Omer. We have to figure out what the word Tiferes means. Anyone want to offer a translation for the word Tiferes? How would you translate the word Tiferes? Splendor, beauty. Tiferes. Okay, we'll learn what it is, and when we understand what it means, it'll be easier for us to translate. Let's see what the words actually mean here. Kol shi tiferes la'oseha v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. Take a look at the Bar Tanura at the bottom of the page. Kol shi tiferes la'oseha v'tiferes lo min ha'adam shiyehei noach lo v'yunochin b'nei adam mimenu. A balanced life. It should be noach lo, it should be pleasing for you, and it should be pleasing for those around you. So that means if you're going to be the type of roommate or husband or father or boss or employee or congregant in shul, if you're going to be the type of person who only thinks about how does this help me, that's not a good model. And if you're going to be the type of person whose whole life is, I don't care about myself, I just want to do for others. Also not good. Says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the proper way to be is to strike a balance and to do things in a pleasant way that it's pleasant for you and it's pleasant for people around you. It's very similar to what Hillel said when Hillel said, Im ein ani li mili, in the first parak, Im ein ani li mili, if I don't take Achrayis for myself, if I'm not interested in me, then me li, then who will be for me? Which is permission for me to care about myself. However, kisha'ani la'atzmi ma'ani. But if I'm only for myself, then what am I? Hillel, of course, was a senior relative of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Okay? So, in a similar way to Hillel, says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, what is the proper path a person should choose? It should be noach lo, it should be good la'oseha. Okay, how do you just read the words? Tiferes la'oseha. It should be tiferes, it should be balanced, it should be beautiful for you, la'oseha, for the one who's doing it. V'tiferes lo min ha'adam. And it should be received well by others. Let's continue in the Bar Tanura. And the way that a person achieves this is by walking the middle path. A person should strike a balance in their life. The derech ha'emtzei. V'lo yita le'echad mishnei ha'ktzavos. A person should not stray to either of the extremes. You shouldn't shift too much in any one direction. She'im hu kilai bioser, yesh teferes lo, she'osev mamon harbe. If he's unbelievably stingy, so that might be good for him because he holds on to a lot of his money. He gathers a lot of money. Aval ein b'nei adam mifarin osoba midazo. But people aren't going to praise him. They're going to say, the guy is such a cheapskate. He's so stingy. He never spends his money on anything. He never gives tzedakah according to his means. So he'll be happy. He likes having a lot of money. But other people are not going to praise him for that midah. So that's obviously, I mean, he's not doing it in a balanced way. Ivim hu mefazer yoser min haroi. And if he's just one of these people, he's a real spendthrift. He just, you know, he spends and spends and spends. So people who are on the receiving end will say, wow, this guy's awesome. This is the best guy to hang out with. But he's irresponsible. He's not properly taking care of himself. It's not teferes lo'aseh. Right? If you ask someone who's on the receiving end of that, how would you like to be that guy? I would never want to be that guy. That guy's crazy. I mean, he spends his money in ridiculous ways. I like being his friend because he always pays for my things. And ain't no nachlo, but this is not responsible. It's not a good way for him. Shubali de anias b'shvil kach, because he's going to become poor because of this. Yeah. Aval midas hanedivos, but being a generous person. Generous means I know when to give and I know when not to give. She emtzais bein hakilus va'pizor. There's like a balance between being stingy and being, you know, someone who's pizor, literally one who scatters his money, throws his money to the wind. He teferes lo sa. He makes smart financial decisions for himself. He guards his money and doesn't waste it. But it's also pleasing in the eyes of others because if someone in the community needs help, they know they can count on this guy. He's the type of person who in a time of need will be generous, will share his money. Because he gives what he's supposed to give. He gives appropriately. He's a balanced human being. V'chein hadin b'shar kol hamidos. And the same is true for all other midos. Now you'll notice that, since I photocopied from my Pirkei Avos, do you see at the bottom of the page, or it got cut off? It got cut off, I think, on the photocopy. So I made a little note on the word kol hamidos, and I wrote here, Ayin Rambam Hilchos Deos Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Does anyone know why I wrote Ayin Rambam? Look in the Rambam Hilchos Deos Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. Jordan, tell us why I wrote that. Okay, so the Rambam talks a lot about the importance of striking that balance. Let's go even a step further. Yeah, Yoni?
He says that if you have a bad mitzvah, you need to go to the opposite extreme to...
Okay, he teaches us how to balance out, right? Sometimes if I'm very extreme in one way, I have to go to the opposite extreme as a way to eventually get myself back to the middle. Good, also true. What else? More point. There are a couple of midos. I'm highlighting the word that the Bartanura said, v'chein adin b'shar kol hamidos. The same thing is true for all midos. So I want to just point out the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, in the Laws of Human Dispositions, chapter 2, halacha 3, the Rambam says there are a couple midos where it's actually appropriate to be extreme. Listen to the words of the Rambam. New Harris, what are the two? What are the two midos?
Anger
and arrogance. Listen to the words of the Rambam. I'm going to read it to you. V'yesh deos she'asur lo la'adam linog behen ha'bebenonis. There are a couple of midos where it's inappropriate. It's not only inappropriate, the Rambam uses the word asur, very strong. That it's asur for a person to walk the middle path. El yisrachik min ha'katza echad ha'katza acher. A person should go to the extreme when it comes to these things. V'hu gova lev. And in this category is gova lev. When it comes to being haughty. Right? Gova lev, an elevated heart. Haughtiness. She'ein derech ha'tova she'ya adam anov bilvad. It's not enough to just be an anov, a regular humble person. El she'ya shufal ruach. Rather, a person should strive for a level below humility called shiflas haruach, a meek spirit, v'tiyarucho nemucha lema'od, and a person should try to be humble, ma'od, a lot. Of course, the proof text of the Rambam is going to be what? Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, l'fichach nemar b'Moshe Rabbeinu, anav ma'od, V'lo ne'amar anov bilvad. Parshas Baloscho, when it describes the humility of Moshe, it doesn't just say Moshe was a humble man. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu was what? Was anov ma'od. He was anov ma'od from all men. He was more humble than all people on the face of the earth, is what the pasuk says. Okay? Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Yud Beis. U'lefichach tzivu chachamim, and therefore the chachamim say what? Ma'od ma'od hevi shafal ruach. That's from Levitas Ish Yavne in the fourth parak of Avos. We'll see in the fourth parak, but Levitas Ish Yavne says that a person should strive to be ma'od ma'od shafal ruach, very, very humble. No ask a kasha. Anyone but Yoni? And Moshe only says that Moshe was humble. Moshe was anav ma'od. And Rav Levitas in Pirkei Avos says a person has to be ma'od ma'od shafal ruach, very, very humble. The Rambam just told us that the Torah was speaking precise. You might think it's enough to just be an anav. No, you have to strive to be what? Like Moshe, anav ma'od. Rav Levitas in Pirkei Avos says, have a ma'od ma'od shafal ruach. Be very, very humble. So says the Ben Ish Chai in his parash in Pirkei Avos, so why by Moshe Rabbeinu does it just say that Moshe was very humble? Did Moshe not achieve the level of very, very humble that's written in Pirkei Avos for all people? And how could Rav Levitas expect us to be very, very humble if Moshe was only very humble? No, what's the answer? The Ben Ish Chai says, no. Moshe Rabbeinu obviously met the basic requirement of every Jew, Pirkei Avos. Moshe Rabbeinu was ma'od ma'od shfal ruach, like Rav Levitas says in the fourth parak. The fact that the Torah says Moshe was anav ma'od is an additional layer of humility. So Moshe was very, very, very humble. He was ma'od, ma'od, ma'od. That's mamish, the highest level, to be triple ma'od. What's the gematria of 3 times ma'od? 45 times 3? 135 is gematria of matzah. Matzah is the spitz madrig of humility. The flat, no additives, pashut, simple. What you see is what you get. The madrig of triple ma'od is the madrig of matzah, the madrig of Moshe Rabbeinu. And it's actually very much connected to Chodesh Iyar. Okay, I'll answer one more second, and then you'll. I just want to tell you how it's connected to Iyar, and then I'm ready to listen. It says that that the name of Hashem for the month of Iyar, today is Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's Kedai to talk about. The name of Hashem for the month of Iyar is the arrangement of the letters of Hashem's name for Iyar. Again, Nisan, the month we just came out of, was Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hashem's name Keseder. Nisan is a month of Seder, Pesach Seder. Iyar. The name of Hashem for the month of Iyar is Yud, and then Hey, and then Hey, and then Vav. Okay, the last two letters flip. Instead of Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, it's Yud, Kei, Kei, Vav. The last two letters flip around. And it's hinted to in the Pasuk, Yud, Kei, Kei, Vav, Yishalel HaMishalel Haskel V'yodoa. Yeah, who has the Yismach Yisrael here? He quoted it in the last line of the piece that we saw the other day. It's in Yirmiyahu, chapter 9, verse 23. Yishalel hamishalel haskel v'yadoa osi. Okay, let me read you the full pasuk, and you'll see what it has to do with triple ma'od. And I apologize to those who are getting chazar shir. Listen to the pasuk. The pasuk says, the pasuk right before it says, pasuk chavbeis. Ko amar Hashem, so says the Lord. Al yishalel chacham b'chachmaso. Don't be a bal gaiva with your wisdom. Al yishalel chacham b'chachmaso. A wise person shouldn't be proud. He shouldn't look for compliments because he's so smart. Ve'al yishalel hagibur b'gvuraso. And a gibur shouldn't be proud of his strength. Yeah, shouldn't be. Proud of your physical strength, or even maybe your spiritual strength. Va'al yishalel oshir ba'oshro. And you made a lot of money, you had a stock that took off. Al yishalel oshir ba'oshro. Don't be proud of your wealth. Says the Pasuk of Gimel, ki im bizos yishalel hamishalel. You want to have something to be proud of? Haskel v'yadoa osi. Only in this should one glory, in his earnest devotion to me. His Yediyas Hashem. That's what you can be proud of. The fact that you're smart, the fact that you're strong, the fact that you're rich, something to brag about. Connected to Hashem, that's something to be proud of, not to brag about, but something to feel a sense of what? A sense of teferis. Of feeling good. That's something to be proud of. Yeah? So the name of Hashem for the month of Iyar is hinted to in this pasuk. Yishalel Hamishalel Haskel V'yadoa. Look at the first four letters. Yishalel Yud. Hamishalel Hey. Haskel V'yadoa. Haskel Hey. V'yadoa Vav. Yud Kei Kei Vav. Yud and Hey and Vav. That's the name of Hashem for the month of Iyar. So the month of Iyar is telling us what? The month of Iyar is telling us, don't be so proud of what? Don't be proud of the fact that you're smart. Have humility when it comes to smart. Have humility when it comes to strength. Have humility when it comes to money. Have three madrigos of humility. These are the three things that a person gets haughty about. I think I'm a big shot because I'm smart. I think I'm a big shot because I'm rich. I think I'm a big shot because I'm strong. Says the pasuk, don't be proud of this. Don't be proud of that. Don't take pride in these three things. So that's what we just learned. Moshe Rabbeinu is what? Moshe Rabbeinu is not just very humble. Pirkei Avos tells us to be very, very humble. Moshe only says very humble. Says the Ben Ish Chai, Moshe was very humble on top of the regular level of very, very humble. He was very, very, very humble. That's the Madrega of Matzah. Three times Ma'od is Matzah. Very, very, very humble. And that's why it says, Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. It says in the Chumash that we eat Matzah. Toda Rabba. We eat matzah at night. Be'erev tochlu matzos. What three mitzvos did Hashem give us so that we don't become haughty with our brain, with our strength, with our money? You put a tefillin shel rosh, yeah? You put a tefillin shel rosh on your head and on your arm. You wrap your body, your physical strength, you wrap your whole body in a talis and tzitzis. And then, of course, when you walk into your big, fancy mansion, you make sure that you pause for a real second, not just a fake second, but a real second. You kiss that mezuzah and you say, Hashem, all this that I have is because of you. This big house is not mine, it's yours. And I'm going to use it, like we learned in the first parak, to host Talmidei Chachamim and to have Shiurim and to use it to get the Chevra together for Shalosh Shudis. This is going to be a place that the beauty of my home is a reflection of the Torah of my home. Yeah? So, however, the Svarim HaKadoshim explain, if a person understands the secret of the matzah is the madrega of triple ma'od, then you understand the idea of what? Be'erev tochlu matzos. How is matzos spelled in the pasuk, in that pasuk? It's spelled chaser, it's spelled without a vav. It's spelled mem tzadi tof. What is mem tzadi tof? Mezuzah, tzitzis, tefillin. If you have mezuzah on your door, then you won't be haughty with your money. If you have tzitzis around your body, you'll know that your big muscles are not yours. And then in the second, Hashem could take away your life, no matter how strong you are, no matter how much time you spend at the gym. And you wear tefillin on your head to remind yourself there's something bigger than your brain. There's the wisdom of Hashem. So matzah teaches us humility. Matzah is the madrig of triple ma'od. So the Rambam says, again, even though we're learning, like we learned a moment ago, that a person is supposed to strike a balance in all the midos. However, there's one midah, or so far we see one, that a person's supposed to be extreme in. That's when it comes to gaiva. Because God forbid, says the Rambam, back in the Rambam, again, you don't have it in front of you, I'm just reading it, Vod amru shekola magbiya libo kafar be'ikar. A person who's a baal gaiva, rejects a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk says, V'ram levavecha v'shachachta sashem alokacha. You become haughty in your heart, and you forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God forbid, a person becomes haughty and he forgets about God. It's usur to be a baal gaiva. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Open up a Shulchan Aruch. You'll see it with your own eyes. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, it's usur leilech bekoma zakufa. It is usur to walk with an outstretched neck. It's based on a Gemara that says in Maseches Brachos and Daf Mem Gimel that a person who walks with an outstretched neck pushes away the Ragle Shechina. You're not making room for God. You're pushing away the feet of the Shechina, whatever that means. So it's in the Shulchan Aruch. Chapter 8 of the Shulchan Aruch, Simen 8, Aruch Chaim Simen Ches. Aser Leilech Bekom Zakufa. It's aser to walk with an outstretched neck. Oh, by the way, says the Shulchan Aruch, it's also good to wear a yarmulke. If you read the Shulchan Aruch carefully, it's more usher to be a bal gaiva than it is to walk around without a yarmulke. You see a yid walking around without a yarmulke, you say, this guy's not so religious. He's clearly not so connected to Hashem. Everyone wears a yarmulke. Who doesn't wear a yarmulke? Who doesn't wear a yarmulke? But you can see a person, not only does he wear a yarmulke, he wears an up hat, he wears a longer coat, sits down to the floor, yeah? But if he's a Baal Gaiva, he's worse than the guy who's not wearing the yarmulke. You know why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says, Osir Leilech Bekom Zakufa. It's Osir to be a Baal Gaiva. And we also, we're no hate to wear yarmulkes. Maharshal once pointed this out in the Tshuva. He was angry at a group of people he thought were very Gaivadik. So he said, you're all very makbid with yarmulkes, but you're not so makbid on being Baal Gaiva. That's what he said to them. Put them in their place. So when a person becomes a Baal Gaiva, you forget about Hashem. Okay? The second midah, as Mordechai correctly pointed out, as Harris pointed out correctly, yeah, the second midah that a person has to avoid to the extreme is what? Is kas, is anger. V'chein kas midah rahi ad l'ma'od, v'roi la'odim sheyisrachik v'mena ara kotza ha'acher. When it comes to what? When it comes to anger, a person has to be an extremist. Extremely, extremely not angry. Sometimes, says the Rambam, a person needs to rebuke his child. So the Rambam says there's a place for a person to display anger, to pretend to be angry. But never, God forbid, to let that anger enter one's heart. In fact, the Arizal said that a person who becomes angry, their neshama leaves their body. In a moment of anger, in a fit of rage, a person loses their cool, your neshama leaves your body. It can't be in the same body when your body's angry. Neshama says, I can't be there. No neshama means you're dead, that you're a gailim, you're a zombie, you're a demon. Okay, so that's the danger of anger. Obviously, anger and gaiva are very much related to each other. Correct? Because a person who's a baal gaiva gets angry that much easier. How dare you say that to me? He's insulted by anything you say to him. Okay, so these are the midos that we have to be dream about. So that's why I just made this note on the words of the Bartanur. The Bartanur says, V'chein adin b'shol hamidos. There are exceptions. There are a couple of myths where we're told to be extreme about. Kaas and Gaiva. Okay? Let's go back to the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah on the top of the page, third line. Actually, you know, let's talk out a few more things before we go on to the Mishnah. Yeah? So again, Rabbi Omer, Ezo Hiderech Yishara Shiyavar Lo'adam. What is the proper path a person should choose? Kol Shi Teferes Lo'asev Teferes Lo'manatam. Okay? The first thing I'll point out, I saw on a sefer called Otzrosayim Shal Tzadikim on Pirkei Avos. I forget who said it, but it's a good vart. Yeah. What's the path that a person should choose in this world? No, what's the answer in the Mishnah? The first two words of the Mishnah. What are the first two words of the Mishnah? Rebbe Omer, what your Rebbe tells him. Rebbe Omer, what your Rebbe says, that's the Derech Yishara Shiyavar Lo'ad. More often than not, if a person listens to his Rebbe, right, or one's Rebbeim, there's a better chance again, you know, it's like any stock. You can talk to the experts and you can still, sometimes it doesn't work out. So sometimes you're bam, I'm advice and it doesn't play out well. But if you stick, if one follows one's Rebbe, yeah, a person will end up living a very healthy and balanced life. Again, with the assumption that the Rebbe is a healthy and balanced person. Why is Dafka Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi the one to teach us this? So Rav Nassim Gestetner, Zatzal, great Tamil Chacham from Bnei Brak, passed away within the last 15 years or so. Less. Maybe 10 years? Probably. It's been 10 years already? I don't know. Maybe 10 years? Rav Nassim Gestetner writes in his parish on Pirkei Avos called Lahoros Nassan. He says, what are the reasons that sometimes people don't live? What are the excuses maybe a person gives for not living a balanced life or a balanced religious life? So some people say, you know what, I wish I could be closer to Hashem. It's just, I have so many responsibilities in this world. I have to work so many hours a day, I can't afford to, I know what the right path is, I've seen people do it, I can't afford to live that way. Sometimes a person says, I can't walk the right path in life, because I don't have the mental abilities to do it. So So the Gemara says about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, again, known as Rabbi, that there was no one who combined wealth and wisdom since the time of Moshe Rabbeinu like Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Gemara in Gittin on Daf Nun Tesamar Aleph. So Daf Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said, I am in position to tell you what the proper path looks like. Baruch Hashem, I have the intellectual abilities. Baruch Hashem, I have the financial, Rabbi was exceedingly wealthy. I have the financial means, right? So let me tell you what the ideal way to live life is. Sometimes a person, again, their judgment is clouded by the fact they don't know enough. They don't know enough Torah, right? I want to live a Torah life. You don't know Torah, see? Or a person says, yeah, like I know Torah, I can't afford to live that way. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I can afford to live that way and I know how to live that way. So let me tell you what it looks like. I'm in a position to give the advice. And his advice is Tiferes, okay? Now the Sfarim explain a very deep thing about Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi being the author of this teaching. Yeah. We know Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov correspond to the Midos of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferes. Avram is the Midah of Chesed. Avram was the Ish Chesed par excellence. Yitzchak is the Midah of Gevurah. And Yaakov is the blend of Avram and Yitzchak, and that's called Tiferes. In the family of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, we find the same thing. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a descendant of Hillel. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a descendant of Rabban Gamliel. And we find that they also had the midos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hillel. What do you know about Hillel and Shammai? Hillel was a great lover of people. Right? Hillel was an Ish Chesed. Shammai was the one who was always so tough. Hillel was Makariv people. The Gemara in Shabbos, when the Ger comes to Hillel and says, teach me the whole Torah while standing on one foot. Hillel works with him. He's Makariv him. Shammai chases him away. So Hillel is the Midah of Chesed. Rabban Gamliel. Nu, Chevra. What do you know about Rabban Gamliel? Rabban Gamliel is Gvura. Rabban Gamliel is like Yitzchak. Why? Rabbi Gamliel is the one who locked up the Beis Medrash in Brachos Daf Chav Ches. I said the only one who's allowed to come into the Beis Medrash is one who's Tocho Kabara. If you're not a tzaddik through and through, then you have no place learning Torah. Very firm. That was Rabbi Gamliel. He got removed from his position and was replaced by Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Harei Anika ben Shivim Shana, because of that. So Avram is Chesed and Hillel is Chesed. Yeah. Yitzchak is Gvura and Rabbi Gamliel is Gvura. Yaakov is Tiferes, and Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is Tiferes. In fact, if you look in the Megala Amukos says that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was a Gilgal, was a spark of a neshama of Yaakov Avinu. He was a reincarnation of Yaakov Avinu. That's why sometimes when we talk about Yaakov Avinu, we end up talking about what? When we talk about Yaakov and Esav, remember Rashi and Parshas Toldos, we talk about Antoninus and Rebbe. Antoninus was the great Roman diplomat, leader, wealthy individual. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the head of Klal Yisrael, was Rabban Shel Yisrael. It was Mamash Yaakov and Esav all over again. So that's why the Megala Mukos says we call him Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rabbi Yehuda the Prince. So we learned last week, we learned that the Nasi means the person who's the head of the Sanhedrin, and the Nasi and the Av Beistin, the first and second in command. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the Gadol Ador in his time. But the Megala Mukos points out, the Heilige Megala Mukos from Krakow, points out that HaNasi stands for what? Hu Nitzutz Shel Yaakov Avinu. He is a spark. Nitzutz neshama means a soul spark. Who nitzutz shel Yaakov Avinu? Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Who nitzutz shel Yaakov Avinu? So is it surprising to us then, such a deep shot in this Mishnah, is it surprising to us that Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi is the one who's preaching what? In one word, what midah? Tiferes. He's preaching Tiferes. Because he was Tiferes. He was Yaakov Avinu. He was the blend of what? He was the blend of Avram and Yitzchak. Okay, and that's what this Mishnah is all about. It's all about Tiferes. It's the Derech Yeshara. Yeshara means the middle path. The path that doesn't stray to either of the sides. Okay? One more point. A lot of this Chassidus Shesvarim point out. There's a lot here, but I'll just add one more point for now. Kol shi teferes lo sel v'teferes lo min ha'adam. There's an idea that's emphasized by the Kedushas Levi. He has it both in Parshas Shemini and in Parshas Tazria. And the way that he reads the Mishnah is the following. It's a beautiful way to read the Mishnah. What is the proper path that a person should choose? Kol shehi teferes le'oseha. Whatever gives honor le'oseha. Not to the one who does it, but rather le'oseha, to the one who made him. To give honor to Hashem. Kol shehi teferes le'oseha. Whatever gives nachas ruach to the borei olam. That's the proper path. So a person comes to the Rebbe, and they say, Rebbe, because they want to follow the Mishnah. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe, tell me what you say. Then what do you say, Rebbe? A little bit I want to go into chinuch. A little bit I want to go to law school. I don't know what to do with my life. Right? Now, there are many great lawyers and many great rabbis who've had that conversation with themselves. L'mashal. Yeah, the new director of Smicha here in our yeshiva, Rabbi Arya Leibowitz, right, was asking that question at one point in his life. Okay, now he has the most shiurim on YU Torah, so I guess, I hope that Hashem gets a lot of nachas from that and that he made the right choice by going into the rabbinate. I think that's a reasonable assumption for anyone who knows him and the outstanding work that he does. Yeah? So how do I choose? What's the right path? So ask yourself the following question. What makes Hashem happier? And what makes Hashem happier doesn't always mean, by the way, right, more hours of Torah. More hours of Torah doesn't always equal... Charlie Harari is successful because he's Charlie Harari and because he's a professional in the work world. And in some ways he inspires many more people than some rabbis do. Right? So it's lav dafka, a person who sits in the Beis Medrash more, is the one who gives more nachas ruach to Hashem. You have to know your strengths, you have to know the nature of your soul, and you have to do what's going to make your Creator happy. So what is the proper path a person should choose? Kol shi tiferes le'osel. Whatever makes your Creator tiferes. Whatever gives honor to Hashem. And you know what gives honor to Hashem more than anything else? Sometimes a person thinks, I'm a human being of flesh and blood. I probably don't give that much nachas ruach to Hashem. I make a lot of mistakes. So Hashem says in response to that, I get the most nachas from you. What about the angels, Hashem? The angels serve you all day, all night. Right. But they don't have a Yetzirah. This is how the Kedushas Levi, how the Berditchever read this Mishnah. Kol shehi teferes le'oseha. You know what gives honor to your Creator, to your Maker? Le'oseha, to the one who made you? Teferes lo, the honor is given to him? Min ha'adam. Min ha'adam. From a man, from a person. Hashem gets, there's nothing that gives Hashem more nachas ruach than a human being who could make bad choices makes good choices. And when it's a fight to get up in the morning, you go to davening, Hashem says, it's gavaldic. Nah, it'd be better if I didn't have to struggle. No, it's beautiful that you struggle. Hashem says, wow, that's such a chiddush. The Kedushas Levi gives a mashal. Imagine a king who has a talking bird. Famous mashal of the Kedushas Levi. Imagine a king who has a talking bird. An actual talking bird, not just a parrot who mimics words. A bird that could talk and have a full conversation. People are traveling from all around the world. Important kings from other countries want to see, dignitaries, chashuva people, everyone wants to get tickets to see this unbelievable attraction, to see the talking bird. Right? It gives tremendous honor to the king. So one of the noblemen who used to be very close to the king and got a lot of cover from the king, was very connected to the king, he's very annoyed one day. And he says to his friend, I don't get it. What's so exciting about talking bird? You talk, I talk. Right? Everyone talks. All human beings talk. Kemat, every human being talks. Nebuch, a couple people, okay. They're mute, they're not able to speak. People talk. So what's the chiddush? Talking is like not such a... Do you want to have a conversation? So talk to me, I talk also. Why is the king giving so much honor to this bird? Because it talks. So his friend says to him, you're a fool, what are you talking about? You don't understand. Don't you understand? What makes it special? What's special about... Human beings are supposed to talk. That's the defining, right? That's Rashi and Unkelis and Bereishis Perek Beis. That's what makes humans human, that they talk. Birds don't talk. It's a chiddush. The fact that this king is the only one who has such a creature, this talking bird, it's a chiddush. And because it's such a novelty, it gives great honor to the kingdom. Explains the Berditchever, angels are supposed to serve Hashem. It's not a chiddush. When an angel does what it's supposed to do, when the sun and the moon and the stars do exactly what they're supposed to do, like we learned last week, the Svazemis is pshat in the word Ziras Shamayim. From the time Hashem told the heavens to solidify, they haven't moved one iota. Perfect track record. But it's kind of boring for Hashem. Hashem doesn't get such nachas on that because it's like it's a given. When a Jew could choose to come to Shir and could choose to not, and he comes to Shir and he learns seriously, it's gavaldik. Hashem says, wow, Tiferes, such an honor for me to see you this morning. Right? Tiferes lo, the honor that's given to him is min ha'adam. It comes from a person. And by the way, I'll tell you one other way to read this opening line of the Mishnah from Rav Gadol Eisner. Rav Gadol Eisner was a Holocaust survivor, a Ger Chassid, a beautiful tzaddik who never had his own children, so it's always good to say over a Torah in his name. Rav Gadol Eisner, in a little sefer called the Mesilos God, the Pathways of God, Rav Gadol Eisner said, here's how I like to read the Mishnah. Eizu derech yishar shiyavar lo ha'adam. What's the proper path a person should choose? You ask yourself, how am I going to give honor to the creator of the world? Or how am I even going to accomplish something that feels meaningful for myself? So here's where he puts the comma in the Mishnah. Kol shehi, comma, tiferes lo asev, tiferes lo manad. Kol shehi. What's a kol shehi? What's a kol shehi? Kol shehi, any amount. Kol shehi, realize, kol shehi. Tiferes lo asev. Gives nachas ruach to Hashem. You say, I can't make it to shir for the whole time today. I can come for 10 minutes. All right. Nah, it's not worth it. If the shir's an hour, what's the point of coming to 10 minutes? Kol shi, because it's a kol shi. Kol shi, every little bit of Torah that a person takes in this world, kol shi, a kol shi means a tiny amount. Tiferes lo said, gives honor to Hashem, and tiferes lo menadam, and it's good for the one who does it. It's gavaldik. Don't say it's not worth it. You know who feels like a big loser this coming January? The guy who started learning Daf Yomi 7 years ago and dropped out like a weekend. But you should give him kavod. By the Siyum HaShas, give him kavod. You know why? Because a lot of people didn't even make it through those first blot of Maseches Brachos. So this guy made it to Daf Yud Gimel in Brachos, you know? Gevaldik. Nah, come on. I dropped out. Some people deserve the kavod. They went 7.5 years at Daf a day. They deserve kavod. And the Daf Yomi starts up again in January. Well, final stretch. Finishing up Kachem now. It's gavaldik. Yeah, but the guy who dropped out a week into Brachos, because he realized it's not shayach for me to learn, no. Kol Shehi, he did something. That was also good. Hashem was proud of that. He tried. A lot of people never even thought to try Daf Yomi. And you were willing to try it. It's a gavaldik thing. Okay? It's a beautiful way to read the Mishnah. Kol Shehi, like the Rav Gadol Eisner says, but Kol Shehi Tiferes Lo Seh, the greatest Tiferes is what? Is Min HaAdam. In the Nusach Sfarad Siddur, you open up to like the first or second page, there's a passage from the Tikkuni Zohar called Pasach Eliyahu. Eliyahu began speaking. And Eliyahu goes through some of the fundamentals of Chassidus and Kabbalah there. He tells you the names of the Sfiros and how they're aligned and which body parts they correspond to. Where is Tiferes in the body? This is chesed, the right hand, the right arm. The right arm is chesed, the left arm is gevura. Where's Tiferes? The guf. Tiferes gufa. It says in Pasach Eliyahu, that passage from Tikkuni Zohar, Tiferes is gufa. Tiferes is the body. In the Sefer Oreach L'chaim, he explains, because the greatest kavod you can give a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not just by being entirely neshama. If you were just a neshama, you wouldn't give as much nachas ruach to Hashem. But the Oreach Chaim brings, in several places, in the name of the Maggid of Mezrich, the fact that you have a body, my body gets me into so much trouble. My body on a daily basis gets me into trouble. Yeah, but that's also, it's your Tiferes, it's your body, which corresponds to Tiferes, that gives nachas ruach to Hashem. Hashem says, I don't want angels, I want people. I want Anshe Kodesh. Holy human beings. Anche Kodesh. Menschlich Heilig. That's what the Chassidic Rebbe used to say. Menschlich Heilig. Be human and be holy at the same time. That's the greatest way to give Nachas Ruach to Hashem. Okay, Chavir, let's finish the Mishnah. Continues Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Have a Zar b'mitzvah kala kibbechamura. She'ein ati yodea matan scharin shel mitzvos. Treat a light mitzvah and a heavy mitzvah equally, because you don't know the reward for mitzvahs. What does that mean, light and heavy? So the Pashup Shad, you could say, light mitzvahs are easy mitzvahs. Chamura, heavy mitzvahs are those that are harder to do. Okay, because you don't know the value of a mitzvah. Is that true? Let me ask you. Let me see who knows the value of a mitzvah. Who knows the value, right? Who knows the value of the lo saaseh of eating chametz on Pesach? Do we have a price tag on that? I don't have a price tag on eating chametz on Pesach. What's the price tag on eating chametz on Pesach? Karis. Okay. What's the price tag of not bringing a car on Pesach? Karis. What's the price tag of being mechal Shabbos, of violating Shabbos intentionally with witnesses? The death penalty by a Jewish court, skila, stoning, stoned to death. And what happens if you violate Shabbos intentionally without witnesses? Karis. You can always do tshuva. Okay? So what do you mean, einatan yodea matan scharin shel mitzvos? We don't know the value of mitzvos. We know a lot of the mitzvos. So says the Bartanur on the bottom of the page, einat yodea matan scharin shel mitzvos. Six lines from the bottom. Lo nisparish b'torah schar ha-makayim mitzvos asay. We don't know the reward that's given to a Jew who does an active mitzvah, mitzvos asay. V'lo onash ha-mavatel me'asosan. And we don't know what happens when a person, right, passively avoids a mitzvos asay, fails to do a mitzvos asay. Again, there are two mitzvos asay that we do know the price of. If you don't get a bris milah, kares. If you don't bring karan pesach, kares. But most positive commandments, we don't know the penalty for not doing them. Like, what's the penalty if you don't shake a lulav? We don't know. And what's the reward for shaking a lulav? We don't know. Olam haba. Shchar and olam haba. We don't know what that is, what that means. We believe that it's good. Yeah? I told you once from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. I think he said, did he say it or he quoted the Altar of Slobodka? I think he said it in his own name. Rabbi Yaakov was asked, there's so many different opinions about, like, you know, what Olam Haba is and what Gan Eden is and what Gehenim is. So he was asked, he says, what's Gehenim? So he says, we don't know exactly what it is, but I can tell you one thing for sure. It's not good. That much we know, right? So we don't know the reward for shaking a lulav. I can tell you one thing. Yeah, as your Rabbi Omer, I can tell you this. You can go on this one. It's really good. It's good. What do you mean it's good? What makes it good? What type of good is it? What is it like? Torah doesn't tell us. So take a look. Says the Bar Tanura, "Diilu anshan shal mitzvos lo saaseh mufurashim hein." Says the Bar Tanura, the way to read this Mishnah, when it says we don't know the value of mitzvos, it means we don't know the value of mitzvos saaseh. We do know the value of many averos: skila, sreifa, hereg, chenek, death by stoning, burning, strangulation. Hereg is beheading. Chenek is strangulation. Kares, misa bidei shemayim, malchus, lashes. We do know there's a litany of things that a person can get. Ha'onesh akal la'aveira kala va'achomor l'chamura. Obviously, smaller averos come with smaller penalties. Okay, so when our Mishnah is telling us we don't know the value of mitzvos, take all mitzvos seriously, it's talking about mitzvos asay. Take all your mitzvos asay equally seriously. So you might take the mitzvah of what? You might take the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach very seriously. Right? But you might not take seriously. You may not take seriously. Yeah, I'll give you actually the example that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky brings. First of all, this is in the context of the first part of the Mishnah Teferis. You have to still be balanced. So even a mitzvah saseh, that's like a very serious mitzvah saseh. Yeah? Let's say baking matzah. So when you bake matzah, you're very nervous, God forbid, it should become chametz, and then I'm chayiv karis. So you might say, the best way to make sure my matzah doesn't become chametz is to put it in the oven and make sure that I really burn it up good. But if you make the matzah burnt, it's not going to taste good. It's not going to taste good. That's not teferis. That's not balanced. So what the Mishnah is telling us, yes, you have to take all mitzvahs very seriously, but still do it in a balanced way. So let me ask you, what's a bigger mitzvah? the mitzvah of what do we take more seriously? Not eating on Tisha B'Av or eating on the 9th of Tishrei, eating on Erev Yom Kippur? Which one do you think people take more seriously? Which one are people more focused on? Which one, like if you had to, you know, give up one of them? Yeah, if you were held at gunpoint, you were told, you know, your hostage, the one who was holding you hostage said, okay, you have to either, you know, I'm going to kill you if you don't give up one of these mitzvahs. I'll let you either fast on Tisha B'Av or eat on the 9th of Tishrei, on Erev Yom Kippur. Which one's a bigger mitzvah? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, the truth is, a lot of people think, like, fasting on Tisha B'Av feels like a big deal. It feels like it's a holy thing. It's an important thing. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur, I don't know, maybe you've heard there is such an idea. The Gemara mentioned such an idea. But it's probably just to, like, make sure that I'm not hungry for Yom Kippur or whatever it is. Like, it's not such a big mitzvah. The truth is, fasting on Tisha B'Av, that's not in the Torah. Eating on the ninth of Tishrei, Erev Yom Kippur, is hinted to explicitly in the Torah. So we sometimes have certain mitzvah, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it feels more chashuv. It feels more serious. There's more of a focus, there's more of an attention, there's more talk about it, right? It feels like I'm accomplishing something more. But that's what our Mishnah is telling us. You don't know which mitzvah is a bigger mitzvah. The ultimate example is the fact that the Torah does tell us that you get long life for the hardest mitzvah of honoring your parents. And you also get long life for the easiest mitzvah of what? Of shiluach hakein, of sending away the mother bird. Sending away the mother bird, all you have to do is walk over and scare the bird and it flies away. Honoring your parents is an impossibly difficult task. It's chamura shebechamuros in the language of the Talmud Yerushalmi. It's the hardest of the hard. No matter how much you do, you haven't done enough to properly thank your parents for the life they've given you. Okay, so make sure you treat all mitzvos equally. This is the advice of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Okay, continuing the Mishnah, v'avi machashiv hefsin mitzvah keneged schara, u'schar aveira keneged hefseda. And think about what you're trading. Think about the loss of a mitzvah versus what you get out of it. And think about the reward, the pleasure in aveira versus what you get out of it. So you might say, it's an irresistible pleasure. I love bread. I can't go a week without bread. Just think about what you're trading. The pleasure you get from eating that bread versus the karis you're going to get if you eat bread on Pesach. I can't resist this woman, but she's a nida. If you're intimate with her, you're chayav karis. But my feelings of attraction are so strong. Yeah. But realize, for those few moments of pleasure, you're trading away what? You're trading away such a big thing. Think about it. Contemplate, he says. B'chashiv. Calculate. The pleasure you're going to get from the Avera versus what? Versus what you're going to have to answer for it. It's not worth it. Or in the mitzvah context, I want to sleep in a little bit longer, and I come 15 minutes late to davening. But think about it. Because you came 15 minutes late, you missed Shmon Esrei with the Tzibur. Was it really worth it? The value of Shmon Esrei with Tzibur, you don't know what that's worth. It's infinite. For a couple of seconds of pleasure in this world. So think about that carefully and make the right choice. And lastly, he concludes the Mishnah, Histakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'einat abali de'avera. Contemplate deeply, histakel. Think deeply about these three things and you'll never come to sin. Ayin roa, ozen shomas, v'chol ma'asecha b'tsefer nechtavim. Chevra, we don't need a single commentary on these Mishnayos. If we would actually take Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's advice to heart, we'd be really good Jews, or much better than we are. If I really believe Ayin Roa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching me, if I really believe that Hashem is watching my every move, Ozen Shomas, and Hashem is hearing everything I say, every word that I say, V'chol Ma'asecha B'Sefer Nechtavim, and everything I do is being recorded in the book, is being written down. If I really think about these things, then what? Then I'll never do an Aveira. Chavetz Chaim would point out that in the olden days, it was hard to read such a Mishnah. Hashem sees my every action, hears my every word, records, writes down my every move. B'zman hazeh, Not that hard to imagine such a Mishnah. You got cameras, you got microphones all over the place. Yeah. Everything's being recorded. Everything's being written down. People leave, you know. People commit crimes and they get busted because they forgot to delete their text messages and they've got all the evidence right there. Right? Or they thought they deleted the email, but of course, what was written is written. And it comes back to haunt the person. So everything is seen, everything is heard, and everything is recorded in the book. Let's just finish Bartanura at the bottom of the page and then we'll stop. It says Rav Adnir Bartanura, Havi Machashiv Hefsed Mitzvah, Masha Ata Mafsid Mischoyrascha, Umamoncha Mipne Esaka Mitzvah. Another way to look at it, think about what it's going to cost you to do this mitzvah. Now the answer might be a lot of money. To buy a pound of matzah, it's really expensive. To buy a nice lulav and esrog, it's really expensive. To get my children a Jewish education, it's tens of thousands of dollars I spend a year in tuition. Tens of thousands of dollars. Yeah, I don't even make tens of thousands of dollars. Baruch Hashem, I do. Right? But it's expensive to be a Jew and to live in a Jewish community and to buy Rebbe's choice herring for Shabbos. He says, it's free. Come on, it's free. The Gemara says you spend on Shabbos is free. Okay. Well, you spend on Yom Tov is free. Okay, so maybe it's not so expensive. So says Bartanura, think about it. Think about what you lose from your business, from your money, to do a mitzvah. How about the time that's spent? How about the hour that I spent at night in the Beis Medrash? Yeah, but I could have spent another hour, you know, wheeling and dealing, trying to line up another client. It could have been another hour in the office. And if I hang up that phone call to catch that mincha minyan in my office building, yeah, by the time I get back, at the pace of my business, things could change radically. It could cost me, this one mincha minyan could cost me, I don't know, $5,000. So I'll daven mincha. I'll stay in my office. I'll keep my computer screen open, and I'll daven mincha. And I'll keep half an eye on the sitter, half an eye on the screen. That's also mesiras nefesh. I'm still davening mincha, right? But think about what you might be losing. Can I get a schar shi'al l'cham imena b'olam zeh o b'olam haba? Think about the great reward that awaits you. Shi'a yoser may also hefsir. I promise you, whatever you're going to get for tefillah b'tzibur is worth more than that $5,000 client. A lot of money. Sounds like a big deal. Or $1 million client, right? But think about it, think deeply, that Olam Haba is infinite. No matter how much you're getting in this world, it's not worth it. Uschar Aveira, last line on the page, with this we conclude, Uschar Aveira, Hanosh Ataneneh Ba'Aveira, the pleasure that you get from the Aveira, can I get Hefzit She'osid Lavo L'Chami Meno, versus what you're going to have to, that which is going to be taken from you as a penalty in the future, right, for this Aveira. Is it really worth it? A couple moments of pleasure. Right? Is it really worth being dishonest in your business to live a little bit more comfortable? You say, what do you mean? I'll live more comfortably my whole life if I work out a way to be dishonest. Yeah, but your whole life compared to eternity is literally a second. This world is a blink of an eye compared to eternity. So is it really worth it? Again, think about it like that. If you actually think about it in that way, is it worth it? Am I prepared to trade a second of pleasure? Right, to give up an eternity of pleasure for a second of pleasure. That sounds like a pretty stupid trade. But it's hard when we're in the moment to make that choice. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is saying. Think about it deeply. This is how a Jew lives a balanced and holy life. Yeah?
So how do we still feel that, like, that minchah that we're davening, knowing that, like, the entire time we're davening, it's going to be on our mind that I'm missing that client, I'm missing that phone call?
Okay, but still. You're saying maybe it's better to daven with, I mean, that's how Yashal. Is it better to daven if I finish the client, right, and then daven mincha b'yichidus with Yishuv Adas? Is that better than going to the minyan, right, where my mind is elsewhere? That's a hard question. It's really a question of whether or not, you know, how much value we give to minyan. So some say that minyan b'zman hazeh has an added value to it. Right? The Gemara says that the tefillah of the tzibur is never rejected. So if you daven by yourself and you're confident for righteous reasons that you're worthy of having your tefillahs answered, so then you're good. But if there's any reason to believe, right, that I don't know that I can carry this weight of everything I'm asking for on my own, then tefillah of the tzibur kind of guarantees that it can happen. So then it's then it becomes so valuable. Right? And that's what there's a tshuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think the Kadosh Lover, the Eretz Tzvi, has a tshuva also, where they write that that davening with a minyan, because of that Gemara, because there's a guarantee of one's tefillahs having a greater strength when it's b'minyan, almost makes minyan a chiyuv. So to know what's the chiyuv, chiyuv to daven b'tzivar. But to daven in a way where I'm kind of almost certain my tefillahs won't be answered, and to daven in a way where I'm certain my tefillahs will be better received, so it's almost an obligation for me to do so. It's almost a bracha of a tala for me not to do that. Obviously, there are exceptions. Sometimes a person can't make it to minyan. You know, there are realities. But it's a good question in terms of just like that one mincha. Is it better to daven a mincha where I'm still like anxious about getting back to work, or better to finish the job and then daven a little slower, a little more kavan, a little more attention, but be yechidless? I'm not sure. I'm not sure what a person could say. Okay, when you see Rav Shechter walking the streets later, if you run into him, he'll ask. Okay? All right, we'll stop here. Shkoyach.